what's coming up on today's experience. Dr. Dave's devotional diamonds of the day, also known as DDDDDs, where my daily devotions become some of our spiritual reflections. Sound effects placed throughout the show which have nothing to do with life but smile, because you may be on candid camera. The review of the goofy news, which proves Jesus is coming back sooner than you think. Keep in mind, media stands for making everyone dumber in America. Thank you. Life lessons for our faith that we can actually use, probably won't if we sit on our blessed assurance. Humor that will force you to think, why does this guy have a radio show? Like I said before, I was bored and I needed something to do. Also, Bible trivia for fake and yet somehow real cool prizes, your phone calls, and more. David Spoon Experience, local, national, and heavenly talk. My name is Dr. David Spoon, and I will be your host for the next 5,400,000 milliseconds. Get ready for one of the more bizarre experiences on live radio. Here is the key to the show. We don't know what we're doing. We have no idea what's going to happen, and we don't care. But for the next few minutes, I want to talk faith with you. So here we go. We're asking questions about living life as a Christian, that kind of thingy. Here it is, in a nutshell. What can our prayer warriors, the people that listen to this show, what can our prayer warriors pray for you about? That is what we're asking you, so that we can have people praying, so we can be taking care of one another, loving one another, encouraging one another, strengthening one another, blessing one another, helping one another. It is pretty much that easy. If you have an opinion, a comment, a thought, or a question, we don't want that to die of loneliness. You can reach out to us. All you got to do is give us a call, 972-445-0770. That's 972-445-0770. Now, when you call 972-445-0770, you'll end up talking to Dynamite D.
Hello, lucky person. You got the number right, because you are talking to Kid a Dynamite.
Talking to Dynamite D, that's like heading into the week with great faith and expectation.
That's how we're approaching Mondays.
That is how you need to approach Mondays. People are like, uh-oh, it's Monday. Uh-oh, it's Monday. I'm sorry, is God not on the throne on Monday? Just on Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday? Uh-oh. He is on the throne. If we can pray for you, we will. It's not that you get to have a kvetch fest. We've talked about this numerous times. I'm not sure that complaining is the great thing to do amongst Christians. I think the idea of petitioning the Lord, bringing it with a thanksgiving heart, true faith and expectation, but submission to his will, I think that is what the Lord has in mind there. But you can kind of work through that on your own. If you don't want to call and you want to text, you can do that as well. All you got to do is text 214-210-8483. That's 214-210-8483. Semi-professional voice now.
214-210-8483.
There you go. You can do it that way. Or you can send an email. That's always fun, too. An email, david@hemustincrease.org. Just my name, David, the A with a little goofy thing all around it, at hemustincrease, based on John 3:30, hemustincrease.org. .org, okay? Additionally, we want to send you up to the website. A couple things to tell you that are on the website. There are some sermons that I've had the chance to preach. There are some audios. There's some videos. There's also encouraging words. There's encouraging articles. There are prayer and praise reports up there. There are the opportunity for you to engage with people, to connect. There are, let's see, connection to 4,500. I'm serious. 4,500 podcast hours.
That is a lot of hours, Dave.
More than my bank account wishes it was. Let me just put it that way. That's available for you as well. Speaking of bank accounts, also on the website is an opportunity to give. Like that transition? That was good. Here's what we are going to do. We're going to ask you to be a part of the ministry, to continue with us, to connect with us in this framework. If you can't give, please be praying for us. But if you can give, please do so. And every dollar we receive, every penny we receive, there is praise given unto the Lord for, just in case you're wondering. Our scripture for today, 2 Corinthians 9, 6 through 7. The point is this: whoever sows sparingly will reap sparingly. Whoever sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. Each one must give as he has decided in his heart, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. Check it all out on hemustincrease.org.
Prayer request?
HeMustIncrease.org.
Praise report?
HeMustIncrease.org.
Looking to give to this ministry?
HeMustIncrease.org.
Confused by what's happening right now?
HeMustIncrease.org.
HeMustIncrease.org.
Ooka chaka, ooka, ooka, ooka chaka, ooka, ooka, ooka chaka, ooka, ooka, ooka chaka.
I'm telling you, Jennifer, she's just so funny. I don't care what anybody says. That's just awesome. All right, so if you're at KBright 1240 right now and you're listening live, it should be 11:37 and 55 seconds. If you're listening in Texas, in Dallas, the Fort Worth area, you should be listening on 770 KAAM, and it's 1:38:05 right now, so you guys kind of know what's going on.
Very precise on the time.
I know, you like that?
I really like that.
I have this automatic, the atomic timer thing. It doesn't work in my brain because I'm never like on time. I'm either late or early. That's good. But I can just read off this thing. Bottom line is, if you've got a prayer request, if you've got a praise report, reach out to us. Give us a call. Even if in the middle of a teaching is going on, we don't mind. We'll work it out, because what this show is geared for is encouraging and strengthening one another. Right. I've had plenty of platforms in 45 years of Christianity, plenty of times of speaking. I've taught way more than I should have taught. That's one thing. But we love to pray. We love to bring it. We love to hear what God is doing. That's the cool stuff. And we're in heaven. There's not going to be quite as much preaching and teaching, right? But there's going to be a lot of testimonies. Woohoo! So you might as well get used to that. That is going to be a big part of what we do after we worship for the first 1 million or 2 million years, and then the angels pick us up as we're on the ground going, thank you, thank you, thank you. Okay, so that'll be there. So either whether you're at 1240 AM KBright or KAAM 770 and you want to reach out to us, don't hesitate. But we're going into some serious teaching and stuff that does not get taught a lot. By that, I'm not saying it doesn't get taught. I'm just saying it doesn't get taught a lot. And you think, well, how can you say that? What's your testimony to that? How can you prove that? Super simple. Ready? There's not enough commentaries on the material that I'm about to talk about. It's just that people just don't seem to write commentaries on it. It's like, is that because they don't do a lot of teaching on it? Yes, that would be exactly why. That's how that goes. We are in 1 Timothy chapter 5 in a very crucial point in the social aspect of the church. We are at verse 9. So 1 Timothy chapter 5 and verse 9. Listen to what it says, because we're going to get into it for a little bit. Do not let a widow under 60 years old be taken into the number, and not unless she has been the wife of one man, well reported for good works. If she's brought up children, if she's lodged strangers, if she's washed the saints' feet, if she's relieved the afflicted, if she's diligently followed every good work. Man, that's a strict list. Don't tell me that ain't strict. What's the deal, Dave? That certainly seems like a lot of stuff going on there. Let's just get into it. Topic seldom discussed is the church and the specific qualifications for a widow. It's outlined by Paul to Timothy. There is nothing, let me say this again, nothing wrong with the church taking care of people, as it reflects, the church does, the compassionate heart of Jesus. However, for the church to assume responsibility for caring for someone, that individual must have shown commitment not only to the marriage process, but also to the faithfulness of the church and the service of the saints. And the whole premise behind this is pretty easy. I'm going to say it in a nice way. The church should be taking care of people, but the church should not be a backdrop for people to go, nah, I don't feel like helping out this family member. Dump them off on the church. It's just like, that's wrong. We've already seen that prior, and we're going to see that again in a couple verses. But Paul gives you a pretty good list. It's like, okay, well, she can't be under 60. That's number one. She's got to be the wife of one man. That's number two. Reported for good works. Number three, she's brought up children. Number four, if she's lodged strangers. Number five, if she's washed the feet of saints. Six, if she's relieved the afflicted. Seven, if she's diligently followed every good work. Eight. And they're strict, not because they're trying to be mean, because the church cannot be continuing if it takes on burdens that it is beyond its capacity for it to take on because other people in the family realms are being lazy. So it's not okay. That's what's going on here. And then it says this in verse 11, and we're going to identify it because what happens is people read this. There's a whole church doctrine on some of this, and we'll get to that in a second. But verse 11 says, refuse the younger widows, for when they have begun to grow wanton against Christ, they desire to marry, having condemnation because they've cast off their first faith. And besides, they learn to be idle, wandering about from house to house, and not only idle, but also gossips and busybodies, saying things which they ought not. And just stop right there. So there are a couple of groups that say, see, young women shouldn't have Bible studies because they're busybodies and gossips. Wrong answer. The context is widows. To say the context is not widows is to live in fantasy land. This is about widows who have no family, no responsibility. They don't have anything they have to do. And the concern is that these people are going to become part of the church liability and then at just some point just bail on the whole process. And that's a bad testimony. So when people or denominations go, well, you know, women, they shouldn't get together because if they get together, they're just gossips and busybodies. Wrong answer. That's not what it says. It says young widows got to be. Why? Because they've been married once and they're going to want to get married again. And they're going to get, it's like that's the very specific realm. So for any denominational group to say women shouldn't get together because when they do for Bible studies, it's gossip and busybodies. That is absolutely contrary to Scripture. Sorry, you can't change it since everything in this context is about widows. I want you to understand something, though. Young widows, they are not evil in and of themselves. So, young widows, that's bad. Nope. Follow what's going on. That kind of notion, by the way, is absurd. The challenge lies in their youthful energy to start anew. Why? Because they're youthful. You see how that works? There's nothing inherently wrong except that they become a burden to the church and forsake their commitment to God to pursue family life again. That's the problem. It's a bad testimony. The act of casting off their first love, Jesus, in pursuit of their own desires is a significant lesson, by the way, for every Christian. Well, what do you mean by that? Because oftentimes believers cast off their first love, Jesus, in pursuit of their own things. Dave, can you be nicer? Okay, I'll do a trivia question, and then we'll come back and do the rest of it, which won't be any nicer. Okay.
I like that, though, Dave.
But it's just, it's what's weird is the way that people come up with those stuff, like there's something wrong with them. It's if they become people who are connected to the church and the church burden, and then they just start getting wildy.
Well, here's the thing, Dave. I wish that was taught on more. Like when you started, you said this is something that's not really talked about, just really based off the commentary. I wish this was talked about. I think this is good stuff.
I don't think it's overly complex. I think what's difficult is people like we don't like to address it, or you know, there's a couple of different groups. The church should be nothing but social. Well, that's stupid. The church should be never social. That's stupid. You know what it says? It says you go to the water or you go to the fire. You know what's funny about going to the water or the fire? They're both extremes. Stop it. Walk in the middle. Turn not to the left or the right. By the way, it also says turn not to the right or the left. And by the way, it says the two of those 26 times in the Bible. So maybe that should be, maybe there should be a key there. In the meantime, let's do a fun trivia question because everybody needs it. Who was the speaker of the first big sermon in the book of Acts? Who was the speaker of the first, the primary speaker of the first big sermon in the book of Acts? That's the question. If you think you know the answer, doesn't matter whether you're in San Diego or Dallas, you can call us 972-445-0770. You can also text in 214-210-8483. As well, you can send an email, David, at hemustincrease.org. So you got to think about the book of Acts, right? The first, now when I say big sermon, I mean big sermon. Not two words, three words, not four sentences. Big, long, 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 long sermon, right? Who was the speaker of the first big sermon in the book of Acts? If you know, 972-445-0770. That's the number to call. 214-210-8483. That is the number to text. And then David at hemustincrease.org. That would be the email. I always want to encourage people to be praying for the audience. As we get into September, we're going to do a little bit better job of September buddies. And September buddies means while you're listening to the radio, you hear somebody call in or somebody that's talked about. And what you do is you think, man, that person, does something move me when I heard that person? And you end up just praying for that person throughout the month. You don't have to pray 4 hours for them every day, but mention them before the Lord in prayer. A quick brief update for, I'm just letting you know, I did reach out to John for Nola's granddad, and I just want to make sure that you know, so I just said, hey, we're praying for you, we love you, and he just let me know that he appreciates that, and they're, you know, he's aware of that, and so I just want everybody to know that we are communicating, but we're doing it very carefully because of the time that they're going through. Keep John in prayer, his wife in prayer, Nola's parents in prayer, and then be envious of Nola because she's having a lot more fun today than you are. That's just a spiritual truth that you cannot escape, okay? All right. So there's that. Plus, don't forget to be praying for our audience members. You got our brother, Dr. Jesse, and you got different people, you know, like Jay, and you got different people like Brad, and people that need to be lifted up on a pretty regular basis that you need. And Samson, we need to pray for these people. They need to know that people are praying for them, and that's what we're here for. That's what we do, okay? All right. Once again, on the trip, and then back into the teaching. How are we doing? We're firing, right?
We're good, man. I just, you know, Mondays are fun days to us.
That's just completely different than who cares what the world thinks? You want to say this, and somebody got really upset, and then I told another person the same thing, and that they were laughing so hard. It's like, look, here, it's very simple. Look, I don't want anybody to go to hell. Some people I just prefer not to see in heaven. All right, anyway, it's a joke. Relax. Trivia question again. Who was the chief speaker in the very first big sermon in the book of Acts? You should be able to find that in Acts chapter 2. If you think you know, 972-445-0770. You can also text in 214-210-8483 or send an email, David, at hemustincrease.org. If we don't get the response, I'll give the answer at the end of the segment. Back to the text we go. So we've just covered 1 Timothy chapter 5, and we did verse 9, 10, and 11, and then 12 and 13, and now we go into verse 14, and this is like, now we're getting into some profound territory. So listen to what Paul says and follow the sequence here, because I'm going to back it up to 13 and run it through. Besides, they learn to be idle, wandering from house to house, not only idle, but they also gossip and are busybodies, saying things which they ought not. Therefore, I desire the younger widows to marry, to bear children, to manage the household, to give no opportunity for the adversary to speak reproachfully, for some have already turned aside after Satan. So, apparently, according to Paul, talking to Timothy, there's a little bit of concern with people who were younger, who were becoming widows, and then they became widows, and they kind of bailed on the church process, and so that's a real bad testimony for the church, and so Paul's like, look, the younger widows, man, what do they need to do? They need to marry. So they don't have to stay single the rest of their lives. It's a choice. If their husbands die, they're welcome to remarry. That's even what the law teaches. To bear children, which means they're young enough to have children. To manage the household, because women do an excellent job of managing the household. Men do a fair job of managing people.
There's a big difference. And then have no opportunity for the adversary to speak reproachfully, for some have already turned aside after Satan. Here's the catch you might not pick up in this. This is the thing I want you to hear. Ready? When you don't have a plan, let me just say this real quickly. When you don't have a direction, when you don't have a purpose, so Paul is saying, here's a plan for the younger widows. Here's my plan. Okay, here's the plan. Ready? I want them to marry, bear children, manage the house, give no opportunity for the adversary. It's a profound hidden theology that applies to every Christian, regardless of gender or age, and that's this. When we lack direction and purpose, we become vulnerable to Satan's influence. Ding, 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 ding.
100%.
I mean, that is right there the lesson. So you're thinking, well, that's to widows. Yeah, but that's to widows and to everybody else. When you have no direction, the Bible says when people lack vision, there is no vision, the people perish. Another text, when it interprets that, says when the people lack vision, they cast off restraint. When you don't have something you're pursuing, in the kingdom of God, you and I, when we do this, are giving opportunity for Satan to go, why don't you go after this? Why don't you go after this? Hey, it's about time you made a lot of money. Come on, dude. It's about time you had more sex. Come on, dude. Or don't you think it's time for you to drink some more? After all, don't you think it's time to do drugs? Don't you think you're owed that now? You should take that money. All those things. Because why? Because we're not having a direction and a purpose. If our purpose that we have is functioning before the Lord, we will have a much more spot-on walk. If we are wandering wilderness-wise, not because of the Lord, but because of our failure to surrender, who do you think is going to fill in the gap? Just think about it. Who do you think? So we might find ourselves searching for something that leads us astray. So the key to avoiding the adversary giving him an opportunity is basically an accuser of the wrong behavior. The key to giving that to him is us being idle and then just starting to fill it in with a bunch of garbage. There's a saying, it's not biblical, but it's not bad. Did you hear what I said? Not biblical, but not bad. Idle hands are the workshop of the devil. That's right. That's right. You think, oh, that's just old stuff. Yeah, but there's an element of truth to it, because doing nothing means that something has to be put in there. And if you're not listening to God, which, by the way, simply listening to the Lord, knowing we're supposed to love one another and carry one another's burdens, consuming your time with prayer and petition and intercession and caring about people and loving people could be a wonderful way to fill the time. Or you just make sure that you get all the pleasure you want and watch all the shows you want. Make sure you binge whenever you want, on whatever you want, whenever you want. Okay. I think there's not a lot of room there. I think that, was that a nice way to say that?
Dave.
What?
How are you going to drop that on us like that? I hope the people got that, what you were saying, because that, like, I think they might have missed that, Dave. I wish you could repeat it. I know we don't have the time, but that was...
Well, it's important for people to catch that when we do lack direction and purpose, we become vulnerable to the influences of Satan, redirecting us to more fleshly, worldly, less kingdom-y stuff. Well, no, I just listed drugs and sex and booze and money. There's about 1,500 other things that could also be listed with that. And it's like, you can't do that. And so he's pretty. I like Paul. Paul's like, hey, yeah, no, that's a bad idea, right? And then he says this in the next verse, because he's not done. I just want you to get this, right? He says in verse 16, if any believing man or woman has widows, let them relieve them, and do not let the church be burdened, that it might relieve those who are really widows indeed. This is the premise of all these restrictions, so that the church, if it's functioning correctly, can genuinely take care of those who genuinely need to be taken care of. That is the whole point. So Paul's whole emphasis to Timothy is to protect that which the church is supposed to be doing, because guess what? There are some things the church should be doing. But the big part about that is this. Whether it's husbands, women, men, wives, whatever, we're supposed to help family members in need. By doing so, the church is relieved from an unnecessary burden. And then this approach ensures that the church isn't a fallback option, because people are unwilling to step up. It's like, bro. We get into the other stuff next week because we're going to start talking about elders, rule of well, and so on and so forth. It's like, you cannot escape this, and there's no reason to try and escape this. This is the right behavior given in Scripture. And we ought to go, yeah, that's good. We should do that. You know what? If you can't do it perfectly as a church, you should work towards it. And if you can't perfectly take care of people in your own family, you should ask God to help you to do a better job. That's what you do, right? All right. Who was the chief speaker in the big sermon for the book of Acts? That would have been Peter.
Oh, wow.
Peter was the first big sermon. Yeah, Acts chapter 2, when he got up and said, blah, 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 blah. Okay? All right. If you're in San Diego, you can continue listening through HeMustIncrease.org or keep listening to KBright. If you're in Texas on KAAM, don't go anywhere. Taking a break. Be right back. God bless.
Since the dawn of the internet, people have been looking for a website they can be proud of without costing an arm or a leg. People want a quality website to promote their ministry, business, hobby, or passion. Introducing Cowpunch Sites. Cowpunch Sites can help you create and maintain a quality website. From design to security, Cowpunch does it all. Cowpunch is a family-owned and operated business, taking a fresh approach to business. Lots of clients at lower prices. Make mom happy.
The most significant benefit of working with Cowpunch Sites is that you work with real people, not cheesy templates. No outsourcing. It's $57 a month, and there's no setup fee and no cancellation fees. When you go to cowpunchsites.com/dad. That's cowpunchsites.com/dad. That's me. Oh, did I mention that it's $57 a month? Cowpunch Sites, $57 a month, and that's no bull.
Dave, this is a nice radio station.
Oops, sorry. That's Cowpunch Sites, $57 a month, and that's no baloney. There, that's better. Cowpunchsites.com/dad.
The David Spoon Experience.
So in this position, I have the opportunity to interview people and have so for the last 5 years from all across the range of Christianity, from authors and from actors and musicians. We are about to have an opportunity we've never had on this show. We actually have Lee Strobel on the phone with us. It was 19 years ago, I believe. This September 1st, where his book came out, The Case for Christ. If you're Jewish like I am and then became a Christian, that was when you went, oy vey. This book was a life changer for many, and now it's a movie. Lee, are you there on the phone with us?
I am, David. How you doing, my friend?
I am doing fantastic. Thrilled to have you on the show. It's
Thank you. My privilege.
I just got to start. I know they give you a list of questions just so you can know, Lee. I never use them. So
good for you.
It's like, come on. I want to tell you, we're brothers here
Absolutely.
In the Lord. Talk to me. First of all, you wrote this book, The Case for Christ. Let's first talk about the writing of the book, and then we'll talk about that connection to the movie. Why did you write this book?
Well, I didn't start out to do that. I mean, I was an atheist. My wife became a Christian. So in order to try to rescue her from this Christian cult, I decided to use my journalism training and legal training and disprove Christianity to show that the resurrection never really happened. Of course, I ended up coming to the opposite conclusion and ended up coming to faith. But I did this investigation for my own edification, for my own education, not because I wanted to write a book. And then it was actually later my wife said to me, hey, you ought to write a book about that. I said, really? And she said, sure. So that's how the book came about.
770 KAAM, Garland, Dallas, Fort Worth.